All right, well, it is good to see everyone today. As you tell, I decided to jump into the ugly Christmas sweater competition fully in. And so having some fun, I love the responses I get from some people. And it is good. We were running around last night trying to find it. We waited too long to find our sweaters. So we're like running around the mall and everything is like out of stock or you have like extra small or like double XL. My wife was trying to convince me at first before I figured this one out to buy this like double XL sweater from Walmart. She's like, well, you have no choice. You need to wear something. It looked awful. I felt like I got sucked back to the 90s, you know, with the baggy kind of, the baggy sweater, the way too big, but I don't have baggy jeans anymore, so it just would have looked even worse. You're trying to wear skinny jeans with a baggy sweater. It just doesn't work well. So anyways, it's good we have fun. It's good to get. But let's just zone in for a bit. We want to talk a little bit more, continue our series on home, and we want to continue to talk about the prodigal father. Now, today I want to share with you in two parts. I actually want to take a little bit more time to set the stage, even though we're in the middle of Christmas, but to set the stage for our fast forward 2020, fast forward, and what we're doing in the new year for our church-wide time of prayer and fasting. As we come into 2020, I put it here in the notes. So really, the first page of your notes is really just an outline of where we're going and what we're doing. I want to kind of make sure everyone gets a real good context of what I believe God's calling us into. Then we'll take a little bit more time to dig into the prodigal father parable and talk some more about just the God's heart showed to us through that. Just as we come into 2020, the Lord has really impressed on me. For several months now, I've really been feeling just 2020 is going to be a very significant year for our church family, just regarding purpose and calling and destiny, some things I believe God wants to lead us into. I believe there's some things God wants to speak to us, to show us. I'm really excited about it on a church front. So I've been thinking a lot about that. But as that was happening, I really felt as I prayed and as I started to look, especially to our time of prayer and fasting, I really felt like God said to me, first though, he's like, I want to speak to everyone in our church family individually and personally about destiny, purpose, and calling for their life. I want to speak to them about what I have for them in their lives and what I've called them to. And so that's what I really got a sense. And so as we've done for the last several years, we take time at the start of the year to really corporately seek God together. But I felt like God wanted us to corporately seek him regarding what he has for us, not even just in the coming year, but in the coming decade. And I really believe there's going to be a window of revelation. There's going to be a window where it's really open in the spirit where God wants to speak so clearly to every single one of us. God wants to speak so clearly to you in an unprecedented way about just destiny, purpose, calling. As I said here, he's calling us to be people of holy ambition. We're going to talk more about what does it mean to have a holy ambition and to do great things for him and serve his purposes in a generation. So what we're going to be doing, it'll be similar to last year for maybe participate, but I know there's many new people who weren't even here last year to participate in it. But what we're going to do is we are going to set aside 20 days from January 5th to 25th to pray, fast, and focus as a united church family. And in doing this, we're believing for ourselves and for one another to hear so clearly from the Father regarding the coming year and the coming decade. And so I really want to encourage and invite everyone who's in this church family. Last year, we had people actually join us from some different countries. There was some people who joined us from outside of the church family as well. But to join us in participating in that. It's one of the reasons why we've been building up this year. So we're not into January like, oh, by the way, we're doing this thing. You're like, what? What are we doing? We want to really lay the groundwork for it. And so there's several key elements of what we're going to do. First, we're going to be fasting. Everyone say fasting. Now, maybe if you're not familiar with fasting, what is fasting? Fasting is a scriptural practice where you set aside something you enjoy for a set period of time to focus on God and to seek him. And it is most effective when it is combined with increased prayer. And so there's many different ways that we can do fast. There is like a juice fast, for example, where you don't eat any food at all and you just drink liquids and waters. That obviously over 20 days would be a very intense fast. There also is a Wesley fast where you can fast up until dinner every single day. As I've been seeking God, I actually feel like that's the fast that I'm going to be doing during this 20-day fast. There's also a Daniel fast, which would be no meats or sweets, basically eating fruit and vegetables and eating different grains and so on. There also could be a partial fast where maybe you fast one meal a day. Or you fast a certain type of food. Fasting is often related to food, but it can also be anything that you lay down. It could be involve television. A big one for many of us is things like social media. And so we fast and we lay those things down. There's many different ways to fast. There's not one way that's better than the other or more spiritual than the other. But here's the key. The key is that you are challenging or stretching yourself. So, for example, I could say, you know what, I'm going to fast onions and mushrooms. Well, that wouldn't be much of a fast because I don't like my onions and mushrooms. I never eat them anyways. Right? I remember I had a friend years ago doing a milkshake fast. And so she just like drank milkshakes her entire fast. That was her fast. I thought, I don't know. This feels like kind of like you're cheating. I don't know about that. But there's fasting. What it is it saying, I'm going to do something that stretches me. I'm going to do something that pushes me outside of my comfort zones. Why? Not to prove how spiritual I am or to prove that, but it's for me to seek God and to focus on God. See, whenever I'm fasting something, what happens is there's times where if I'm fasting food, I mean, it's like all the time, I'm hungry, I want food. And I'm like, you lose hunger after a couple days, actually. It kind of goes away. But I'm like, I see food and I want food. In that moment, my flesh doesn't like it. It's like, ah. But in that moment, I remind myself, nope, I'm taking a season to seek God. So it's like I'm making a sacrifice that helps me focus more on God. That's really the heart of what fasting is all about. And so I want to encourage everyone in here to fast during this time. Now, your flesh isn't going to like it. Your flesh is already, some of you already is going to be going, no, I don't want to do that. I don't feel the Lord on that. I'm not doing that, et cetera, et cetera. But I'd encourage you to push past that because God has so much for us. And so where's a healthy way to do it, it's important that we think about those things. For example, if you have a job that really involves intensive physical labor, I wouldn't encourage a juice fast. Why? Because you're going to pass out. It is not going to be a good scene. So you find a fast that is appropriate for you with your lifestyle. Really the key is, am I sacrificing something that is meaningful that is causing me to focus more on the Lord? That's what fasting is all about. And so what we're also going to do is you get on the email list, which I'll mention in a second. We're actually going to send out some links and some tips for healthy fasting. So maybe if you haven't really done a fast before and you're like, well, I don't know what's healthy, we're going to send a list out for that. And so we're going to fast. Everyone say fast. But secondly, we're going to pray. In the Bible, fasting is always connected to prayer. If you fast, but you don't pray, you are just starving yourself. All right, and so you want to make sure that you are, and that's why we want to do some things corporately as well to help us go deeper in God together. And so we are going to be taking time to pray over these 20 days. Encourage everyone to set aside more time for prayer. Number one, and this will be part of the challenge I'll talk more about in a couple weeks, but really encourage you to pray in the Spirit or pray in tongues, your heavenly language that you get when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, at least 15 minutes a day. And if you can do even more, push yourself to even more. Something powerful happens when you pray that way, and it transforms you, and it changes you. Number two, we are going to have weekly prayer calls with other TCC members. And so connection leaders, some of you aren't aware of this yet. Many of you have calls already, but I'm going to be working with the connections to set up different prayer calls, different people our church family, where you can get and you can pray and you can stay connected that way. And then obviously number three, we are going to gather together as the TCC family on Friday, January 10th, 17th, and 24th for prayer, worship, and seeking God. So I encourage you just to mark those dates off right now. You know, it's a powerful time when we come together and we seek God even in this atmosphere, and so we're going to do that. We also encourage you to have other personal prayer commitments to increase your prayer during this time. So number one, we're going to fast. Everyone say fast. Number two, we are going to pray. Everyone say pray. Number three, we are going to read the Word of God and dive in the Word of God. So we encourage you, again, when you're fasting, it's not just about denying yourself something, but it's denying yourself something so you can seek God more. And so we're also going to get a strong Bible reading plan. Now, this year what we felt to do is that to encourage you in what we're calling the 1-3-5 Bible reading plan. So the one represents one proverb a day. It's a great part to have in your regular Bible reading. There's 31 Proverbs. You read through it, you can just go through it a month and keep going. A great book of wisdom and revelation from the Lord. And so number one, we're going to do one proverb a day. Secondly, the three represents in the Psalms. We're going to read three Psalms a day. Now, again, this is a great monthly habit. If you read three Psalms a day, you're going to every 50 days work through the entire Psalms and just be growing in the Psalms. The number three, the five represents five chapters. Now, in this Bible reading plan, what you do is you take a set period of time. Some people take a month. Some people take a week. And they just read the same five chapters over and over and over again. So you don't move to new five chapters. You stick with the same five chapters. Why is that important? It's important because it unlocks the power of meditation. And the Bible is very clear of the importance on meditating the Word of God. Psalms 1 talks about meditating the Word day and night. Joshua 1, God instructed Joshua, meditate in my Word day and night. The problem for many of us is we speed read through the Bible and we miss so much of what God wants to do in us.
And so when you read something over and over again, you go, well, I read this yesterday, I read it the next day. That's when things start to really come alive because you meditate in it. So we're going to focus for this fast on the book of James, because the book of James has incredible revelation about destiny, purpose, and calling. It has so much in there. Whether you go into James 1, it talks about count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations. James 3 is talking about the power of your tongue and the power of your words. I mean, there's so much in James that has to do with destiny, purpose, and calling. So we're going to read through the book of James. And if you want to add more Bible reading, of course, you're welcome to do that. And so number one, we're going to fast. Everyone say fast. Number two, we're going to pray. Everyone say pray. Number three, we're going to read the word. Everyone say read the word. And the last but not least, we're going to have our daily video devotionals. Now, remember, we did this last year. It went so well. We thought, man, we need to definitely do this again. So I've recorded 25-minute devotionals. Every day, you will get a devotional for that day, a video devotional. You'll be watching it along with everyone else participating in the fast. And what I do is each day, I take a different scripture that talks about destiny, purpose, and calling. And my heart with it is just to stir your heart and to build your faith. Because what we want to do during this time is we're listening to God. We're seeking him, but we're listening because he wants to speak to us. So every day, it's just going to be about a 5-minute, a little more, a little less some days, 5-minute exhortation about God speaking to you. Also, we are going to have a daily worship video that's going to be sent to you in the same package. So every morning, you're going to wake up, you're going to have an email in your inbox when you get on the email list, so that's important. You're going to have your daily video devotional. You're going to have a daily worship video. Pastor Samuel has curated a list of some of the real great cutting-edge worship songs that are out there right now, YouTube videos. You can use that for your devotional time. And so we're going to have that. And then you'll have your daily Bible reading outlined and any notes and things for you to remember being part of the fast. And this way we can stay together and we can stay united in what God's doing. Amen? And so I really want to encourage you. You don't have to think too far ahead right now. Obviously, we've got Christmas and things come up. But I want to plant these seeds in your mind, because 2 weeks from today, we'll be kind of praying and getting things ready to go. So it's not that far in the future. And so I want to encourage you in that. Last but not least, we are really excited to have special guests with us, Prophet Yule and Jane Crawford. So many of you are familiar with the Crawfords. If you've only been here for a year or two, though, they haven't been able to come to the church for the last year or two. So haven't. But amazing, amazing, amazing prophetic and intercessory gifts. Amazing couple. And so what they're going to do is on Friday the 17th, they're going to be with us here on the Friday night. There's going to be a lot of prophetic ministry, a lot of teaching and ministry, but especially the prophetic going on. Then on the Saturday morning, they're going to do a prophetic masterclass and prophetic intercession. Now, let me explain to you why every single one of you wants to be there. You want to be there because part of this coming year is, and in this coming decade, is we cannot go light when it comes to prayer and intercession in our lives. We have to know how to pray. And we have to know in our lives how to pray. We have to know how to be a church that is full of praying people. And so you want to get out to that seminar. It's going to be on the 18th. There is going to be a sign-up that's available. I realize today it's not quite ready to go yet. But if you just contact the office, we can get you on the list. And very quickly, there will be an online sign-up on the website that you can get to sign up for there. And then they'll obviously be with us on the Sunday services. And so I really wanted to take some time. I know I've taken a chunk of my message time, but I really want you to catch the heart of this, to understand what we're doing. One of the most powerful things about these times of prayer and fasting is the fact that we do it together. The fact that it's not just me doing it by myself or you doing something by yourself. There is power in unity, and there is power in doing this together as people of God. And so I really want to encourage you to set aside time to be part of this, to set aside time to be part of what God is doing, to set aside time to be part of what God is saying, and to stretch your faith that you're going to hear from God in an incredible way. God doesn't just want to speak to us about the year. I really feel like he wants to speak to us about the decade. And he wants to speak to us about where he is taking us and what he wants to do. And it's going to be in your life personally. It's also going to be in our lives together. And so what I want to ask you last but not least is make sure you get on the email list. Everything in this fast is going to be coming through this email list. So you want to go online. You can go right now, even if you want to, on your smartphone. You can go to torontocitychurch.com. You can click a link. You can get on the email list. We're going to be sending reminders. We're going to be saying tips before the fast starts. And then every day, you're going to get the daily email with the video and everything else that's happening. So if you have any questions, let us know. But I'm just really excited about what God's going to do. I'm really excited about what he's going to speak. And again, I just can say it again. I want to encourage every one of you to be involved. Without any further ado, then, let's jump back into our topic and our content for today. If I'll just pray again and just commit this part to the Lord, and we will jump right into it. Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. And Lord, even as I say the word Father, I thank you that you are our Father. You are our Father who loves us. And even as we've been in this time, in this month, with this home series, we've been growing in our revelation of the love of the Father. We've been going deeper in understanding who you really are, how you really love us, the heart that you have for us. And I just pray even now, as we take a little bit more time here and we take a little bit more time to dig in to this powerful parable, Lord, I thank you that once again you will just speak to us and you'll take us even deeper in our revelation of your heart for us. But God, I pray today as well, you also speak to us about just us carrying your heart and us walking your heart. So we thank you for this in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed said, amen. All right, well, as you know, our series this month has been home. Everyone say home. And so what we've been talking about is we've been talking about the power of being home, talking about family, talking about God's doing. I just want to remind you that we are called to be a spiritual family. That is really at the heart of our mission as a church. It's the heart of what God calls. If you go to the bottom of your sheet, actually there, and just a reminder, you can get this stuff online at brendanwitten.com or on the church app. Our mission at Toronto City Church is to be a spiritual family where every person encounters God's unconditional love, is empowered in their identity, and equipped and engaged for their purpose. Now, see, part of this, it goes right back to January, guys. What I am so passionate about during this fast is, again, it's purpose, it's destiny, it's calling. We are not just here as a church family to have a nice building with nice comfy seats so you can keep coming here and listen to nice messages and then go out and just do life and then come back and listen to messages. This is not about me having somewhere to preach. This is not about me having some crowd who can listen to what I'm speaking and be able to. No, we're here as a spiritual family, and our heart and our goal right at the end of it is that you live out the purpose that God has for you. I just want to encourage you, and I remind you again that there is great purpose, destiny, and calling that is over your life. God has great purpose for you. There is a purpose of God that you are called to serve in your generation. And I know that for some of us, when life is hard, we've been through some battles, we've been through some disappointments, there's some things going on around us, it can get really hard to have hope and to see the bigger picture of what God has for us. But I just want to encourage you, and I want to remind you again, even in the middle of what you might be in right now, there is purpose, there is destiny, there is calling over your life. God did not just create you by accident. You are not an afterthought. God didn't forget about you and go, oh, wait a minute, so-and-so, I got to think of a plan for their life. God had a plan preordained before the foundations of the world, and then he perfectly formed you for that plan, those good works which he prepared beforehand that you should walk in them, Ephesians 2, verse 10. This is the purpose and the calling God has for you. And what I am so passionate about, even more than ever before, is seeing every one of you live out this purpose and calling. You need to, there's more that God has placed inside of you. You were born for more. I say this a lot, but I'll say it to you again. You are born for more than to go to school so you can get an education, so you can get a job, so you can afford a house, so you can get married, so you can have kids, so you can retire, you can die. There is so much more that God has placed inside of you. But that is also what the battle is over. Because the enemy does not want you to walk out purpose. He does not want you to walk out destiny. He does not want you to walk out calling. And so what, there's this connection, guys, between being family and people living out their purposes. Why? Because in God's ordained structure, the family was the core unit that was meant to be the incubator for destiny, purpose, and calling. That was God's intention. It doesn't always work out that way. But God's desire was to create family, to build and to raise up and to grow up children who would not just do what their parents did, but actually would exceed their parents. That's what God's purpose was. And actually, and then there's the whole element of generational blessing and generational calling. And God's desire in healthy family is that every generation builds atop the other. One family generation breaks into something. The kids get used to that. Then they push even further. That's God's purpose and his calling. And so family is very connected to purpose and calling. You will never walk out the fullness of your calling in God without your tribe. It's one of the reasons why it's so sad to me to see so many believers who love God but have no church family. And I understand why that happens. I understand a lot of times it's been because of bad experiences or hurt or struggles that are going on in people's lives, or they got into a difficult church situation. I don't want to do that anymore. But listen, you're never going to fully walk out your purpose, destiny, and calling sitting home every Sunday watching Mike Todd on YouTube. Now, I love Pastor Mike Todd. Watch Pastor Mike Todd as much as you want to. But he's in Tulsa. You've got to get connected in family that God has for you right here. Right? And that's when you're going on. So one of the enemy's goals, number one, to get you away from Jesus. Do that. But number two, if he knows he can't get you away from Jesus, he just wants to get you isolated and keep you away from the people of God who you're supposed to be with. See, family. And then when we get in family, see, it's not just about my destiny, purpose, or calling, but when I'm in a family, it starts becoming about celebrating others. Right? Like, I'm really excited and I'm proud. I'm going to brag on my daughter for a second because she got into the National Ballet School, and so she's actually in the Nutcracker this Christmas. And so she's in the Nutcracker tonight. And so there's this whole family thing. We're excited about celebrating her and what she's doing. We're excited about getting behind her and celebrating. My son's got basketball. We get out and we celebrate him. It's seeing them live out their purpose and calling. Right? It's not just about, well, we had kids, so we had someone to do the chores. Amen. And some of you are like, I don't know about that. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. My kids do chores a lot of time. Right? We didn't just get someone to do the chores. No, it's about you want to see the generation go further. That's what family is all about. And so what we're doing is we're saying, okay, we're getting a spiritual family. And it's interesting because where does this tie into home? Well, I thought it was so profound because I was looking at the definition of home. And home, as we've talked about, is a place where one lives permanently, especially as a member of a family or a household. See, you live in a house, but when you have family in that house becomes home. And see, the problem for many times in churches is we're a house, but we've never become home. Because home is when we become family. Home is when, you know that old Christmas song, I'll be home for Christmas. You know, and that song was really written in the time. It was written in the time of the 40s and the Second World War and the troops saying, I'm going to be home for Christmas. I want to be with my family. I want to be with those that there's this coming home. And so what God is growing us is he's growing us as a home. The more we grow as a family, the more we become a home. The more we become a home, the more we become a place where God can send spiritual sons and daughters who can grow up into their destiny in God. The more we're family and home, the more we see destiny and purpose released. So we want to be a home. So here's the question, though. How do we move from just being a house to being a home? Now, I'm not saying we're not a home already. There's a lot of elements that we are growing in this, but we want to keep growing in it. And I believe even as we come into 2020 with this mass, I think God's going to speak to us personally. There's also going to be some massive things God's going to speak to us corporately. I can feel it already. There's some things he's going to stir in us, and I believe some big things are coming, even in the 2020s. Some amazing things are coming for us, but it's how do we move from being a house to being a home? You know, it's interesting because even as we talk about this parable with the prodigal father, which many of us, again, know if you haven't been around for the last several weeks, about the prodigal son, but as we'll mention in a second, the scriptures is really about the prodigal father. It was all about family, and it was all about home, and it was about a son who went away. But the father wanted a home. It was also about a second son who served his father but didn't have his father's heart. And the father still wanted him to come into the home. Don't stand on the outside, come into the home. And so we're talking about this. So what I want to do today, real simply, we'll read through the parable again. But I just want to share with you really quick, I want to share with you three keys, three things that I was touched by in this parable, I've been touched by in this series that I think are key for us to continue to build home. Amen? Someone tell your neighbor, we're building home. And so let's read together. We're going to start in verse 1 and 2. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. Verse 2, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So you'll remember. Now, again, if you missed the first couple weeks of December, go back on the podcast to make sure you listen to the messages, because I'm not going to have the time to contextualize everything I'm saying. But remember, the Pharisees and scribes were furious with Jesus because he was spending time with sinners and tax collectors. Now, because of the narrative of Jesus, we get that now, the narrative of forgiveness, the narrative of loving people. But in that time, if you were a follower of God, you did not spend time with sinners. You did not spend time with tax collectors. You did not do that if you were a follower of God. And so they couldn't understand why Jesus, who was saying he was representing God, could actually do this. And so then Jesus told them three parables to share the heart that he had because it was the heart of God the Father. So we jump again to the third one. And it says here, and he said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. No one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Then he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked that what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and treated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I've served you. I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came who had devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me. And all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and to be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and he is found. I want to talk to you and encourage you in three things out of this parable that have just been really sticking with me that I believe we need if we're going to continue to build home here at Toronto State Church. First and foremost, I want to encourage you, we need to constantly be growing in the revelation of the love of our Heavenly Father. Somebody tell your neighbor, he loves us. You know, as we said right off the top, and I explained each week during this message, we know this parable as the parable of the prodigal son. But if you actually look at it scripturally, it's really about the father more than it's about the son. The reason we know this, again, is in verse 11, it says there was a man who had two sons. It didn't say there was a man who had a father and an older brother. The main character of this story is the father. We know this as well because Jesus was telling this story to explain his scandalous behavior in being with sinners and tax collectors and explaining the heart of God the Father. And so we talked about this, and Jesus told us this parable to give us a picture of the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Guys, I want to encourage you, just if I can go even off script for a second here, this Christmas season, pursue more than anything else a continued revelation of the love of God the Father. I don't know about you, but just even going through this parable over this month and teaching and diving into it, my mind has just been blown once again in a fresh way about the love of God. And I've grown in my understanding of his love, but I've also been challenged that there's so much more that I need to grow into. We want to grow in the realms. See, the foundation of being family is and having a home and being together is that we have received and we've walked in the love of God. The more we walk in the love of the Father, the more we become family with one another. The more we become family, the more this place becomes home for people. But it all starts with the love of the Father. The Apostle Paul, I loved it. He said it this way in Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I love this word picture that the Apostle Paul uses. He says, I want you to be rooted and grounded in love. And not only did he say, I want you to, he actually said, I pray for you. And that wasn't just like a nice little Christian platitude. You know, sometimes you tell someone, oh, I'm going to pray for you. And you never actually plan to pray for them. It's just a nice Christian thing to say. Let's not do that. Amen? Right? Let's not be people, oh, yeah, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for that. Right? I've really tried to catch myself with that because we can all fall into that trap. If I tell someone I'm going to pray for them, I make sure I pray for them. If I'm not going to pray for them, I don't tell them I'm going to pray for them. Right? I just say, but what I do after I'm going to pray for you, I just prayed right now for you. Right? Even it's on text. Oh, I'm going to pray for you. You never pray for them. No, I prayed for you right now, and I make sure I actually pray for them. Amen? And see, so there's this element, though, of understanding where he's prayer, and he was saying, I pray that you are rooted and grounded in love. Now, but you, when I get this picture, this word picture he uses of being rooted and grounded, right? Being rooted and grounded speaks to me of stability. It speaks to me of being well-nourished. You know, Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on that law he meditates day and night. That's what we're trying to do, this 2020 fast thing going on, right? He is like a tree, it says, planted by streams of water that bears fruit in season, that leaf does not wither. Everything he does will prosper, rooted and grounded in love. See, when you speak of being rooted in ground love, it speaks to me that even when winds or storms come, you may bend, but you don't break. Why? Because you're rooted and grounded in love. Above all else, this Christmas season, let's be people who dig our roots even deeper into the love of God. I really don't understand that much about trees. I do suspect there's a point that a tree reaches where its root system has expanded far enough. But here's how it works in the kingdom. Your roots can go as deep as you will invest in them going deep in the love of God. We are going to go deep in the love of our Father, this love that causes the God of the universe to pick up his skirt, to pick up his robes, and run to his Son. That love of the Father, go deep in it. Dive deep in it. And even as we come into 2020, guys, and come into this new decade, I believe we're getting ready to come into the fresh move of God. It is the prayer of my heart. I'm thankful for what God is doing in the nations of the world right now, but we need a move of God in Canada. We need a move of God in Toronto. We need a move of God in North America. And this move of God is not so much us moving, but it's the Father who comes and says, I want to run to my sons and daughters. I want to go out to the Pharisees and the scribes and invite them to come in home. But it's going to be and start. We can't take to the world something we are not walking in ourselves. We cannot take to the world around us something we don't even have a revelation of ourselves. And it's not just a theological concept of the love of God that you check off your theology list. It is a living, breathing relationship that you've got to stay locked into every single day. It says in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Right? We can't even love properly if we're not walking in his love. The more I've got his love in me, the more I'm going to love others. It all starts, it all ends with the love of God. That's why when Jesus went into ministry and he got baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him, the first words the Father said, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Another translation says, this is my Son. I love him and he brings me great joy. Then on the mountain transfiguration, before Jesus was getting ready to ultimately go into the final stage where he went to the cross, once again, there was a supernatural vision. And once again, the Father from heaven spoke and said, this is my Son whom I love. He brings me great joy. It started with the love of God. It ended with the love of God. And then it went to the cross where Jesus became an embodiment of the love of God when he stretched his arms wide and he died for you and me. The greatest act of intercession, if we're going to talk about intercession in history, it was not actually a prayer, but it was an action. But see, it's guys going deep in the love of God. There's something that God wants to do. It's his love that's going to make the difference, guys. In the culture we're in right now, and things are happening, it's the love of God that's going to break through. It's the love of God that sets people free. It's understanding he's the Father who wants them home. And so we want to grow in the love of God. Someone say, grow in the love of the Father. It's interesting because this whole parable is really about the love of the Father. That's what it's really about. In a religious mindset, I don't think we did it on purpose. We made the main focus, the Son and his sin. instead of the Father and his love. But the Father and his love was far greater than the Son and his sin. Right? And God wants us to know it's not we ignore sin. It's not that we're trying to say sin's okay. But we just understand there's something greater. There's something more powerful. There's something that is infinitely more powerful, and it's the love of our Father. But it starts with us. We love because he first loved us. Peter and John said it when they went to the temple in the book of Acts. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. You cannot give something you don't have. And it's time for us to go so deep in a fresh way in the love of our Father. And I believe there's a fresh move of the Spirit of God that is coming. Even I pray it, and I'd speak and declare over our sea of the love of the Father that brings prodigal sons and daughters home. The love of the Father that welcomes Pharisees and people who think they earn their own way with God. And he says, no, come, my grace, my love is free. Come home to my love. And so we want to grow in that. But number two, we also want to grow in our heart for prodigal sons and daughters and see them come home. You'll remember, but we talked about how really, in essence, both sons were actually prodigals, each in their own way. And the Father's heart was for both of them to come home. You remember the quote from Kenneth Bay, who said, the younger son was a rebel and he knew it. His brother, the older brother, was a rebel, but he does not know it. We see what happened was both fathers, if you remember, we talked through the story. Both sons shamed the father. The younger son by going away and doing what he did. The older son by staying outside, refusing to come in, by being angry. That was a public shaming of his father. But in both cases, the father went to the sons. The father covered the sons. The father welcomed the sons home. And so, guys, I believe we need to grow. If we're going to be home, we want to grow in the love of the Father, because that's the start and the end of everything. That's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But then we also want to grow in this heart that he has for his sons and daughters to come home. The Father's heart was for his sons and daughters to come home, but he's looking for us to carry that same heart. What would have happened if the story went this way? So the young son took all that his father gave him. He sold it, and he went away to a far land. But the older son could see his father's heart and saw how much his father was wounded by this. And so he went, and he found the younger son, and he brought the younger son home. How would the parable have been different if the older son, instead of being angry and judged by it, had actually said, no, I'm going to carry your heart. I'm going to go get brother, and I'm going to bring him home. This really comes to the picture that we talk a lot about here at Toronto City Church, about being a rescue ship church rather than being a cruise ship church. What does this mean? Again, the picture. I got to move very quickly through this point because it can be an entire message to itself. I'm not trying to preach against cruises. I love cruises. When it's really cold, I wouldn't mind going on a Caribbean cruise right about now. Nothing against cruises, but when I go on a cruise, I'm going to rest. I'm going to relax. I'm going for a vacation. If I walked under the cruise boat and they handed me a broom and said, hey, do you mind help sweeping up? I would be offended. I paid money to come on this and have you take care of details, not me. I'm not sweeping anything. This is my vacation. But if I walked onto a rescue ship, it would be very different, wouldn't it? Why? Because I would not just be here for my pleasure, but I would be on this ship because there's some people out there that we need to rescue. And in the same way, what happens, guys, we got to fight this with everything that's within us. It is so easy, especially in our North American, Canadian mindsets, for churches to become cruise ships where it's all about me. And it's all about what's easiest for me, what's most comfortable for me, what I like the most. I like that song. I don't like that song. I'll give Pastor Nate and his message today. That was a really good message. Oh, that message, that's a five. He talked a little bit too much about my money, or whatever else. And we throw all that stuff in there, and that's cruise ship, right? It's just all about me. My room's too cold. My room's too hot. The bed's too hard. All these. Now, if I paid to go relax and the bed's hard, we got a problem. But if I'm on a rescue ship, I'm not here to be comfortable. I'm not here to have somebody else serve me. I'm here to say, give me a broom. Give me a life boy. What do I need to do? Because there's people out there in the water we got to get to. And see, part of this heart is, will we catch the heart of the Father for his sons and daughters to come home? Individually, but corporately, will we allow him to do it? Because here's the point of homes. God wants his church, and he's looking for churches that say, we're going to really fight to be a home. Why? Because then he can send spiritual babies into that home. God's not going to send spiritual babies or new believers to churches that are not going to care for them. He's definitely not going to send them to churches that are going to get them hurt and offended and send them back out more angry. Why? Because even though people shouldn't, they relate us to what God is like. Will we fight to be a rescue ship? Will we fight to be a home where everyone's welcome? Will we fight to be a home where there's always one more seat at the table? Will we fight to be a home where people are welcome and we're bringing people into the kingdom? This mindset will lead us to sacrifice, to be inconvenienced, to lay down our lives, to give of our time and our finances, but it's worth it. Why? Because it's our Father's heart. I believe in the coming year, and the coming decade, we are coming into a time of unprecedented harvest where millions are going to come to the kingdom. But guys, listen to me. It's not going to be neat and tidy. When the prodigal son came home, he was not nicely cleaned up and taken care of. No, he came home disheveled. He came home smelling like pigs. He came home totally broken. But the father ran to him anyways. He hugged him. He kissed him. He didn't make him use hand sanitizer first. He just got right into the mix. Why? Because of his love for his son. And in the same way, will we join God in his heart for people, even when it's messy, even when it's difficult, even when it involves sacrifice on our part? Will we do it? Yes, it'll be hard. It's going to hurt sometimes. It's going to cost us, but it's also going to be glorious. It's going to be supernatural. It's going to be what you were born for. It is going to all be worth it. You know, it's interesting. Think about this as I preached in first service. We want to put ourselves in the spot of the prodigal son coming home. And understand that God, our Father, is the one who picks up his skirt and his gowns and runs to us. We all need to understand that without Christ, we are all that son. Right? But we also want to put ourselves in the place of the older brother. Because I don't know about you, but I find especially, it's very easy once you've been a Christian for a little while to become very professional, to lose the love. You're just serving, you're doing that. I do this for God, I do that for God. And we can start to get self-righteous. Will we forget the fact that the only reason I'm even here is because of Jesus? And I, you know, we start judging people, looking down on people. They say, without Jesus, we wouldn't have anything. Where would you be without Christ? We need to remember that. Right? But here's the third thing that I've been chewing on. It's good to make sure we see it through the eyes of the prodigal son. It's good to see we see it through the eyes of the prodigal older brother. But here's the revelation level I think God wants to take many of us to. Will we also identify with the Father? Because that's where he wants to take us. Will we be those who say, God, I want to have your heart. Justin, if you want to come back me up here. Like where it's like, God, I want to see this the way you see it. I want to love people the way you love them. I want to have your heart, God. Somebody say the Father's heart. See, rightfully so, there's definitely been an edge of this lesson in this series on how on understanding and growing the revelation of God's Father heart for us, and that's a good thing. I'm not taking away from that one inch. We want to grow in the revelation of his love for us. We got to keep growing in that. But I know his heart is he's looking for, part of the reason. If you want people to just give love to, he could have just had us all as servants. Right? Subjects. He's the king. We're his subjects. I'm going to love you. I'm going to be a benevolent God, and I'm going to love you. But see, when you get a son or a daughter, you want to give them love. But ultimately, your heart is for them to join you in what you're doing. You remember when Jesus was in the temple when he was 12? And his family had forgotten him. I think he kind of half snuck away too. He went to the temple. And they were crazy for 3 days. They finally found him. And I can imagine, you know, that's kind of one of those, I love you, I'm going to beat you, I love you, I'm going to beat you. That's how his parents felt. Right? You got all these conflicting emotions. And Jesus said to him, he said, well, why'd you worry? Didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business? See, part of the maturing process is we go from just receiving to saying I'm receiving, but now I want to be about your business. And it's interesting because actually if you study out the Greek in that text, what Jesus actually said was he said, well, didn't you know I'd be about my Father? See, business was added by the translators, and it's appropriate, but is added for context. But actually, the context of the verse was he said, I'd be about my father. Why? Because when you're about your father, you're about your father's business. Who will receive the love of God, but then allow it to take them to the place where they're going to be about their father? It's not just about what father can do for me. That's a level of immaturity. But it's like, I actually want to be about you, God. Will we have that heart? And then last but not least, I'll just say this in closing, and then I want to land this plane. We want to grow. If we're going to be home, we want to constantly grow in this revelation of the love of the Father. Number two, if we go home, we want to constantly grow in carrying his heart for people. But then last but not least, just this kind of funny. I was saying to our first service crowd, this is I wrestle with this a bit because it's not like usual preaching style to end with this kind of point. But it just marked me so much, I thought we'd park here. And I thought it's good food for thought. Sometimes it's good to just leave with a food for thought. We need to be prepared to bear the shame of loving God and loving people. Now, I explain what I mean. One of the things that marked me probably most in this study, I had never before seen how much shame the father went through to love. When his son said, I wish you were dead, give me my inheritance. That was incredibly shameful. And imagine how it must have hurt his heart, but he did it anyways. But then the fact that he did it caused his older son to hate him, and it would have caused the entire community around him to shame him as well. It's bad your son did this. It's even worse that you let him. He was not celebrated for his love. He had people pat him on the back, oh, you're a good father. And he had people saying, you're a terrible father. But he didn't care. He did it anyways. Then when his son comes home, in the distance. And he knows. Remember? He ran to him. Part of the reason he ran to him was he knew if his son stepped foot in the village or stepped foot in the place, he was going to have abuse heaped upon him. So he ran to get to him first before he came into the village so that he could cover him and he could publicly protect him. But you know what that did? That brought even more shame on him. Because people said, what are you doing? You've gone crazy. Look what this son did to you. You can see it by the response of his older son. Then his older son shames him and disrespects him by staying outside, by publicly disagreeing with him. And yet the father goes out to him, covers him. He would have just brought left, right, and center. This story would not have ended with the entire village going, oh, what a wonderful father. Look at his love for his son. In that cultural context, they would not have understood what he did. They would have thought, and he would have been shamed probably permanently because there's the crazy old man who doesn't understand how to discipline his children. It's one thing to love people when we're applauded for it. Come on, guys. It's one thing to love people when everyone pats you on the back and says, oh, what a wonderful person you are. Oh, what a wonderful church you are. Oh, what wonderful people you are because you love people. But there's going to be a times and places that we've got to say, I'm about my father. When I'm hated, when I'm persecuted, when I'm torn down, we live in a culture right now that increasingly is growing more and more vocal in its voice that says, you're crazy to follow God. You're crazy to believe the Bible. You are out of touch. You are out of date. You are narrow-minded. You are wicked. You are a bigot. You are on the wrong side of it. Whatever phrase they say. And guys, we've got to say, who's going to be people who say, I'm going to stand with my father even so? Even if everyone around me says what they say, I'm still going to stand with my father. Even if I never get a pat on the back. I never get a special award. Actually, because it's interesting here. There's a piece because shame. Again, we kind of, shame on you. Sometimes we throw those words on. Don't ever say shame on you to anyone because God's not about shame. He doesn't put shame on you. He puts love on you. He puts peace on you. He took your shame. We're not in the business of putting shame on anybody, but when you're in an honor-based culture, if you were shamed, that was forever. And often, you could not even earn it back. And yet, this father loved so much, he took the risk of permanent shame. And so, guys, I laughed. I said, I wouldn't get a good mark in preaching class because you're not supposed to end on this kind of point. But it just marked me so much. Like, it's one thing to love when I get a pat in the back. Well, I love even when I don't. And not only will I love even when I don't get a pat in the back, when it's not just loving people. Here's what's really coming down. It's loving God. Right? If the world around you says wrong is right, right is wrong, and you still stand with Jesus. But is he worth it? Is our Father worth it, guys? love of the Father. So here's what I want to encourage you. We're going to, oh yeah, we need to stop. I'm done. If you want to grow this Christmas, just say, God, grow me even more in receiving your love, but also in catching your heart. And in really walking with that heart. That's what I want this Christmas. I want to grow in that. I want to invite you. If you want to join me in that, just stand to your feet. We're going to close with a prayer.